بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. So we begin reading from the work of al-Imam al-Shaykh عبد الرحمن ابن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى, which is entitled التوضيح والبيان لشجرة الإيمان. التوضيح والبيان, the clarification and the interpretation, لشجرة الإيمان, to the tree of faith. The clarification and the interpretation of the tree of faith. We begin reading, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone to help us and to aid us and to grant us success to read this work properly and to understand it and to benefit from it, and to grant us a good understanding in His religion and to give us success to apply the knowledge that He teaches us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make the knowledge a proof for us and not against us. This work, as we can see, is very concise, and the size is small, and it's a few numbered pages, less than 100 pages. Alhamdulillah. And the text is in large print, but although the size of the work is small and concise, the benefit is major and great, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to benefit from this great work. التوضيح والبيان. التوضيح, it means to clarify, to make something clear. من وضح, يعني مصدر وضح, يعني جعله واضحا. والبيان, من البيان, يعني to interpret something and to explain it and to clarify it clearly. And لشجرتي الإيمان, for the tree of faith. The tree of faith. The author, he has based this treatise upon a verse in the book of Allah, in Surat Ibrahim. And he will mention this verse in the introduction. Inshallah, we will read it, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the resemblance of the faith, the sincere and true faith, in the belief in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, belief in everything that Allah has ordered to believe in, to believe in the tawheed of Allah azza wa jal, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the testimony la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, the testimony la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And in the heart of a believer, it's like a tree that Allah plants. It's like a tree that Allah plants in the hearts of the believers, and it's similar to a tree that is planted in the earth. So we will not take much time, and we begin reading from that which the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and the work, it begins, muqaddimatu al-mu'allif, muqaddimatu al-mu'allif, the introduction of the author, the introduction of the author. He mentioned, rahimahullah, alhamdulillah, alladhi gharasa shajarat al-imani fi kulubi ibadihi al-akhyar, وسقاها وغذاها بالعلوم النافعة والمعارف الصادقة واللهج بذكره آناء الليل والنهار وجعلها تؤتي أكلها وبركتها كل حين من الخيرات والنعم الغزار وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الواحد القهار الكريم الرحيم الكريم الرحيم الغفار وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله الرسول المصطفى المختار اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه البررة الأخيار. So the author, he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. The people of knowledge mentioned alhamd is to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His attributes of perfection. Praising Allah azza wa jal for His attributes of perfection. And He alone is the one who possesses divinity, meaning that He is the alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who is alive and He never dies. He is the first and there's nothing before Him. And He is the last and there's nothing after Him. and he feeds and he is not fed, and he's powerful and strong and he's never weak, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does not get sleepy or tired. He has the attributes of perfection from every aspect, no deficiency whatsoever, not in his life, and not in his knowledge, and not in his wisdom, and not in any of his actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hayyul qayyum, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore, all praise and thanks is for him. All praise and thanks is for him alone. But the reality of this praise is that it's coupled with love. In order for it to truly be an act of worship and to truly be alhamd, yani that is deserving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be coupled with love and veneration. It'll be coupled with love and veneration. So alhamdulillah, praising and venerating Allah and loving Him, praising Him for His perfection and for His beautiful names and lofty attributes. He has no deficiency whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, praising Him for His bounties and blessings, which cannot be counted nor could they be enumerated. And at the head of those blessings is the blessing of knowledge and the blessing of guidance to the straight path and the success to believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guidance to al-Iman, the correct faith and the correct deen, and guidance to apply that and to live upon that and die upon that. As Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, rahimahullah, a'azam al-karama luzum al-istiqama, the greatest honor that Allah, He will honor any of His servants with, luzum al-istiqama, is that they will remain steadfast, is that they will remain steadfast upon faith, sincere faith, and the application of that faith upon the performing the commandments and avoiding the prohibitions, hoping for the reward and the pleasure of Allah and fearing His punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one will remain upon that way, inwardly and outwardly, day in and day out until he dies. This is the greatest honor, and this is the greatest bounty and blessing. So to praise Allah for His bounties and blessings, and at the first of them, the blessing of al-Islam, and to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His beautiful names and attributes of perfection, no deficiency does He have whatsoever. This is how the author, he begins, alhamdulillah, الذي غرس شجرة الإيمان في قلوب عباده الأخيار في قلوب عباده الأخيار. All praise and thanks is to Allah, the one who has planted the tree of faith, the one who has planted the tree of faith in the hearts of His best servants, in the hearts of His best servants, and the best servants and those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and those whom He has chosen, He plants in their heart. He plants in their hearts the tree of faith. And this is the greatest bounty and the greatest blessing. And this is the reason why the creation was created. And this is the reason why we're breathing, in order to believe in Allah and to comply to Him and to worship Him and to love Him and to honor Him and to respect Him and His religion, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to respect the deen of Allah azza wa jal, to worship Allah humbly with obedience and with servitude and submission. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has slaves that are the best of slaves, and they are the ones whom He guides. He guides to al-Iman, and He plants in their heart the tree of faith. He plants in their heart the tree of faith. And then He mentioned, rahimahullah, وَسَقَاهَا وَغَذَاهَا بِالْعُلُومِ النَّافِعَةِ وَالْمَعَارِفِ الصَّادِقَةِ وَاللَّهَجِ بِذِكْرِهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. And He has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has watered that tree, and He irrigated that tree and nourished that tree with beneficial knowledge and true information and being fond with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal in the daytime and the nighttime. In the daytime and in the nighttime. So we see here in the beginning, the author, rahimahullah, he's mentioning these benefits here, that all praise and thanks is for Allah, and that He is the one who plants the tree of faith in the hearts of the believers. So therefore, the faith in the heart of a believer is a bounty from Allah and a favor of Allah. بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Rather, it is Allah who has bestowed the great favor and bounty upon you for guiding you to al-Iman. So al-Iman is the favor and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that after this bounty, there is no bounty. And all of the blessings, they are only truly blessings whenever they are understood and they are followed up by the blessing of Iman. And as for having the blessings of the worldly life without the blessing of faith, then those blessings will turn into nothing but retribution and a means of punishment for those people and for those individuals. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So all of the blessings that must be understood and used according to the blessing of faith. So therefore, the greatest of all blessings is the blessing of al-Iman. And it is Allah alone who chooses whom He wills from His slaves, and He plants that faith in their hearts. subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the author is clarifying that as well, that faith is cultivated and nourished. And it is Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the one who is cultivating it and nourishing it. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he is mentioning here likewise an indication to the means of that cultivation and how that faith is nourished. And he's mentioning that it is nourished and it is raised and cultivated by beneficial knowledge. By beneficial knowledge and true information and understanding. And likewise by having the fond remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the daytime and the nighttime. So therefore this tree of faith in the heart of the believer, it is nourished by knowledge, by beneficial knowledge. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about this affair. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. That it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has sent his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بالهدى ودين الحق, with the guidance and the religion of truth. The guidance, the people of knowledge, they mention al-ilm al-nafi', the beneficial knowledge. And the religion of truth, the people of knowledge, they mention al-amal al-salih, yani al-amal bihad al-ilm al-nafi', to apply that beneficial knowledge. So therefore the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with this knowledge. And that's the reality of faith. And the foundation of faith is that it is beneficial knowledge. Knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal and His right to be worshipped alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal and His names and His attributes of perfection, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal and His lordship and His authority and His command. Knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His decree. Knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the path that leads to Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And his laws and legal ways that are described and clarified in the Sunnah. All of this is the beneficial knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with. And this is the means to nourish and cultivate. This is the means to nourish and to cultivate the faith in the heart. And like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, "Man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi din." That whoever Allah wants good for, then He will grant him understanding in the religion. This understanding in the religion is the cultivation of that faith. He'll have understanding in the religion. And the greatest understanding is the understanding of a tawheed. And in this manner, the faith is cultivated and is raised. And it becomes firm and deeply rooted and becomes strong and beneficial for a believer in this life and the hereafter. And likewise, yani this truthful information and al-lahaj bi dhikrihi ana al-layli wa nahar. This is the means to cultivate that faith, to remember Allah. But not only to remember Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to be fond of that. That the heart, it will find a fondness and a love and a joy at the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not sometimes, not in the morning only, or in the evening only, ana al-layli wa nahar, all night and all day, all night and all day. And this is the way of a believer, especially if he has made effort to learn that beneficial knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with, from that, the sunan, and the daily deeds of a Muslim, whenever he wakes, and as he goes throughout his day, from putting on his clothes and eating his food, and to the end of his day, coming and going into work and riding in a vehicle and entering his home and leaving and entering his home and entering the masjid and leaving the masjid, and the adhkar after the obligatory prayers and the adhkar in the morning and the evening, all of these sunan that have come, and the deeds, the daily deeds, amal, al-yawm, that the people of knowledge have clarified, this is from the greatest means to be from those who have a fond remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and in the evening, all day and all night. And he remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every circumstance and situation. And this is was the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كان يذكر الله عز وجل على كل أحيانه. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would remember Allah in every circumstance and every situation. So this is from the means likewise, the author is indicating this here. Yani in this introduction, from the way of cultivating and raising and nourishing that faith. And then after this, the author, he mentions the fruit of that and the benefit of that. وَجَعَلَهَا تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا وَبَرَكَتَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ مِنَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَالنِّعَمِ الْغِزَارِ. And Allah, He has made that tree of faith to give its fruits and blessings at every time from the goodness and the bounties that are abundant. Yani the great blessings and goodness that is abundance. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brings about that fruit. Brings about that fruit and the good result of that faith. The good result of that faith that is abundant and likewise and is continuous and consecutive. And this is the case of a believer. And here in this introduction, the author, is clarifying the intent from the work and summarizing that which he will discuss in this work. And the people of knowledge, specifically Ahlul al-Balagha, the people who have knowledge, the scholars of al-Balagha and the eloquence of the Arabic language, they mentioned that this beginning here is called Bara'atu al-Istihlan. Bara'atu al-Istihlan. And this is whenever an author or a speaker, he will begin his speech and his introduction, he will summarize the intent of the entire work and use words that indicate the intent and the work is about and the likes like this, and he clarifying this affair. So the author, he has basically summarized this issue here, that there is a tree of faith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he plants that in the seeds of his best and chosen slaves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cultivates that tree. And that tree, it must have provision and cultivation. And that provision and cultivation, just as a tree is watered with water and cultivated in this manner, the water that the tree of faith is nourished with and replenished with and cultivated with is from the revelation and the beneficial knowledge. And just as a tree likewise, it has fruits and it has benefit and blessing as well, the tree of faith. When it's cultivated properly and it is nourished in a good manner, it also has benefit and also has fruits. And this is what the author, he is summarizing here. And then he mentioned, rahimahullah, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارِ. And I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah alone with no partners. And He is the one and only, the irresistible, the one who has ultimate authority and overcomes all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Kareem, Al-Rahim, Al-Ghafar, the one who is most noble and generous and the most merciful and the all-forgiving. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu ar-rasul al-Mustafa al-Mukhtar. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger, that is chosen, his chosen messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi al-barara al-akhyar. Oh Allah, send the salat and the salam upon Muhammad and his family and his companions, those who are righteous and the best, those who are the best and those who are righteous, and those who are the best and in the chosen. Radiyallahu ana sahabati ajma'in. So we see that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Al-Wahid Al-Qahar, that He is the one and only, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. There's nothing like Him whatsoever, nothing resembling Him, laysa kamithlihi shay. And there is nothing that can overpower Him or overcome Him. And that which He decrees, it occurs. And that which He does not decree and does not will, it will not happen. And nothing happens except with His command and His authority. And He has the supreme command, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And likewise, He is Al-Kareem. And from His karam, is that He will guide a believer to faith. And He is Ar-Rahim. Likewise, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, from His mercy, is that He will guide a believer to faith. From the kindness and the mercy of Allah is that He has sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance and with revelation and clarification. And likewise, from His mercy and kindness, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, is that He has made us from those who believe in Him and made us from His followers. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-ghafar. And He is the all-forgiving and all-merciful. And although we have been guided, alhamdulillah, to the straight path, we still have deficiency and we still have shortcomings. So therefore, along with that mercy, a believer, he will seek Allah's forgiveness. He will seek Allah's forgiveness. And he knows that the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, he is the messenger of Allah and the slave of Allah. And he is chosen. And he's the final and the last prophet and messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, the author, he says, Amma ba'd, and as to what follows. فَهَذَا كِتَابٌ يَحْتَوِي عَلَى مَبَاحِثِ الْإِيمَانِ أَلَّتِي هِيَ أَهَمُ مَبَاحِثِ الدِّينِ وَأَعْظَمُ أُصُولِ الْحَقِّ وَالْيَقِينِ. He said, as to what follows, then this book here consists of the chapters of al-Iman, the chapters of research. And the issues that he is discussing here in these chapters, they are issues of research and detailed interpretation and explanation of al-Iman, sincere and true faith. And these issues here that are being discussed and explained, they are the most important affairs of the religion. And they are the greatest foundations and fundamentals of truth and certainty. And they are the greatest foundations and fundamentals of truth and certainty. He said, Rahimahullah, mustamiddan dhalika min kitabillahi al-kareem al-kafil bitahqiqi hadhihi al-usul tahqiqan la mazida alayhi min sunnati nabiyhi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allati tuwafiqu al-kitaba wa tufassiruhu wa tu'abbiru an kathirin min mujmalatihi wa tufassiru kathiran min mutlaqatihi. So then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that this work here is derived from the Book of Allah, who is the most generous and kind. And he is the one who is entrusted to actualizing, or he's the one who is entrusted to clarifying these foundations in a manner that no one can increase upon, in a manner that no one can add to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book, and likewise in the revelation that he has revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has clarified in great detail the reality of al-Iman and the obligation of al-Iman and the details of al-Iman. He has clarified that in a manner that no one can increase or add to. That no one can increase or add to, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where the author, he's deriving this affair from. Now he's clarifying where this issue is derived from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise from the Sunnah of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a beautiful clarification in the beginning, clarifying the methodology of the author. And in reality, it's the methodology of Ahl Sunnah, that the source where the knowledge is derived from, the source where the knowledge is derived from is from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah, meaning from the revelation. And this is the way of Ahl Sunnah, that the knowledge of the religion and the affairs of the deen, all of them are derived from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. All of them are derived from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. And this is how likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book in more than one place, even in the beginning, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Yani in the very beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the believers and mentioning their traits, those righteous and pious believers, and they are those who believe in that was revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which was revealed to those before you. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ يعني يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Those who believe and that which was revealed to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني, and that is the Quran and the Sunnah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَالْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. This is the case here. يعني those who believe and work righteous deeds and they believe in that which is revealed to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it's the truth from their Lord. And it's the truth from their Lord. And this is the case here. So the religion is derived from that which was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no other source. The religion is derived from here, from the Quran and from the Sunnah. From the Quran and from the Sunnah, from the revelation. And the Sunnah likewise is revelation, just as the Quran is revelation. And the author, he's indicating this affair likewise. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned, وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak from his desires, but rather it is only a revelation that is revealed. So just as the Quran is revelation, no doubt about that, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise the Quran is revelation, no doubt about that, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the manner of Ahl Sunnah, again, to clarify this way. And from the beginning of the affair, this is what the people of knowledge have clarified. And has come the likes of this in the works of the scholars, particularly in Aqidah. Whenever they mention these affairs, they mention where it's derived from, and that is from the book and from the Sunnah. Like that in the Ha'iyya of Ibn Abi Dawood, تمسك بحبر الله واتبع الهدى ولا تكو بدعيا لعلك تفرح ودين بكتاب الله والسنن التي أتت عن رسول الله تنجو وتربح. يعني mentioning the obligation, يعني whenever they're discussing the affairs of the religion, in the very beginning, they'll mention where this knowledge is derived from and the source for this knowledge. Yani from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal and from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Book and the Sunnah, this is the evidence, and this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with. And yani there's beautiful statements, the people of knowledge, they mention it from them. Yani that من فارق الدليل ضل السبيل ولا دليل إلا بما جاء به الرسول من فارق الدليل ضل السبيل. Whoever goes away from the evidence, then he will lose the path. And whoever goes away from the evidence, then he will go astray and he will be misguided. وَلَا دَلِيلٍ إِلَّا بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ And there is no evidence except for in what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with. So therefore, to derive the religion from dreams and from whims and from customs and cultures and from the likes like this, this is all falsehood and this is not the way that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether the religion and the affairs of the deen, all of it, are derived from the evidences. And there are no evidence. There's no evidence in the religion except that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has come with it. And in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And then the author, he's clarifying about this Sunnah. Clarifying about the Sunnah. وَمِن سُنَّةِ نَبِيهِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ He mentions some attributes, or traits of the Sunnah now. أَلَّتِي تُوَافِقُ الْكِتَابِ وَتُفَسِّرُهُ وَتُعَبِّرُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ مِن مُجْمَلَاتِهِ And the Sunnah, it is in accordance with the book. And it interprets and explains the book. Interpreting in detail many of that which is mentioned in general. And clarifying in detail many of the affairs that are mentioned in an absolute sense. So this is the case with regards to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First and foremost, the believer should be upon clarity with regards to that. That the Sunnah is revelation. And that al-Islam is the Sunnah. And the Sunnah is al-Islam. Al-Islamu huwa sunnah, wa sunnatu hiya al-Islam. This is the case, as al-Imam al-Barbahari, he mentioned. Al-Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he mentioned in Sharh al-Sunnah. That the al-Islam, it is the sunnah, and the sunnah is al-Islam. And there is no deen except in this manner. Except in this manner. And many times, you will find, as the author he's mentioning here, as-sunnatu tuwafiqu al-Qur'an. As-sunnatu tuwafiqu al-Qur'an. That it's in accordance with the Qur'an. Meaning that which is mentioned in the Qur'an, similar, like that is mentioned the same thing in the Sunnah. And this is in a number of places in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, كُلٌ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُوبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ And he mentioning these pillars of faith. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الْإِيمَانُ أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُوبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ And until the end of the hadith. So this is in accordance precisely. And this is the case that the author is clarifying, mentioning the aspect of how the Sunnah is in accordance with the Quran. It will come in this manner specifically, exactly in the same manner. That which is mentioned in the Quran, the same thing will be mentioned again in accordance to that in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other times we will find that the Sunnah will clarify the Quran, will clarify the details of the Quran, and that something in the Quran will be mentioned in general. That something in the Qur'an will be mentioned in general, and then the Sunnah will come and bring great detail and clarity to that. And from that is the pillars of al-Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has ordered in more than one place, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ To establish the prayer, and to give the zakat, the obligatory charity. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned in His book, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ That fasting has been prescribed upon you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about these pillars likewise, in his book, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ السَّبِيلَ To make hajj is an obligation upon the people for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, for those who are able. So this is all of these affairs here similar to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he has mentioned, بُنِيَ عَلِسْلَامُ عَلَى خَمْسِ That al-Islam is based upon five. So that which is mentioned in the Quran is that which is mentioned in the Sunnah. So from this aspect, this is al-Muwafaqah. Muwafaqat al-Sunnah lil-Kitab, that the Sunnah is in accordance with the book. But if we look at the details of these pillars here, how to perform the prayer, the times of the prayer. Allah, He mentioned in general in His book, the times of the prayer. Inna salata kanat ala mu'minina kitaban mawquta. That verily the salat has been prescribed and made obligatory upon the believers at specific times. At specific times. And likewise, the prayer, it has a number of rak'ah. And it has a manner that one would perform. وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the obligation of making ruku'. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ And stand before Allah in humbleness and humility. It is the sunnah that clarified the number of those rak'ah, and the manner to make the rak'ah, and the manner to stand, and the recitation of the book, and that which is recited. So the details of how to establish the prayer is not mentioned in the Qur'an, rather it's clarified in the sunnah. And this is what the author, he's clarifying here. And likewise the zakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in general to establish the zakat, to perform that and to pay that. And He praised those who do that in a number of places in his book, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for the detailed rulings of where the zakat comes from and what type of wealth one must pay zakat on and who pays zakat and who the zakat is paid to and the details of these affairs have come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, the obligation of fasting and the manner of fasting has mentioned in general, and a number of the affairs in the book of Allah azza wa jal have been clarified with regards to the rulings of fasting. But the details of that, the great and the vast majority of the details of that, of how to fast and the likes like this, and the time to fast and the manner to fast, and who's allowed to break their fast and when they're allowed to break their fast, and how one will make up those days and the likes like this if they miss the fast, so on and so forth, all of this is clarified and detailed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, the Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned that Hajj is an obligation upon mankind to perform for the sake of Allah alone. But as for how to perform that, and the sacred rites of Hajj, and the manasik of Hajj, and how many times to make tawaf around the Kaaba, and how many times to make tawaf between Safa and Marwa, and the likes like this, all of this is not mentioned in the Qur'an. Rather, the details of that is clarified in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is what the author is referring to here. And this is why many of the believers, they have gone astray with regards to, and in these days, and they try to establish the pillars of Al-Islam without understanding the sunnah, without having any guidance from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the first case, the first reason why one would go astray, with the other billah. And even before that, establishing the shahadatain and this tree of faith and understanding the reality of faith, it goes back to understanding the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and understanding the revelation. And these affairs are based upon the legislative understanding that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even there's another aspect that the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to the sunnah and the Quran, and that is that the sunnah will bring rulings that are not even mentioned in the Quran. There are rulings that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has established from halal and haram that are not even mentioned in the Quran. So we see that the author, he mentioned two aspects of how the sunnah deals with the Qur'an and clarifies the Qur'an. The first aspect is al-muwafaqah, that the sunnah will be in accordance with that which is mentioned in the Qur'an. And the second aspect is al-mufassirah, al-mubayyinah, lima ujmila fi al-Qur'an, al-mufassilah, that which clarifies the details of that which has come in the Qur'an. And the third aspect, which the author, he did not indicate here, but the people of knowledge, they clarify that, is al-mustaqillah, sunnah al-mustaqillah. And the sunnah tastaqillu bi al-tashri'i, wa bi bayani al-ahkam, aw ithbati al-ahkam al-shar'iyya. That the sunnah will bring alone, without any mention from the Qur'an, legislative rulings. Legislative rulings. From that is what has been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. An-Nabi naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an tunkiha, and to kaha al-mar'atu ala ammatiha aw al-mar'atu ala khalatiha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has prohibited that a woman would be married along with her aunt from her dad's side, or her from her father's side, or that a woman will be married along with her aunt from her mother's side. So there's no mention of this ruling in the Quran, but here the sunnah has clarified that a man, he cannot marry a woman and her aunt, not from her father's side nor from her mother's side, that this is not permissible. And this is something that is not mentioned in the book of Allah. And likewise, what has been narrated by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an kulli dhi nabin min al-siba' wa kulli dhi makhlabin min al-tayr, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited eating any of the flesh of every ferocious animal that has a fang, and every bird that has claws. Likewise, and there's no mention of this affair in the Quran. So therefore, the sunnah here is bringing revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. Revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal, even clarifying details that are not mentioned in the Quran. And it's an obligation to believe in that and to follow that. Likewise, what has come in Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called out in the battle of Khaybar, in Allah wa Rasulahu yanhayani an لحومي الحمر الأهلية, that verily Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they prohibit you from eating the flesh of the tamed donkey, any of the donkey that is tamed, that they benefit and ride on, and the likes like this, clarifying that this flesh here, or this meat here, is not allowed, it's not permissible. is not allowed and not permissible. There's no mention of this in the Book of Allah. Rather, this ruling here is clarified independently in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are some issues that the author is referring to here in great detail. But it's important for a believer to be upon clarity with regards to this. To be upon clarity with regards to this. That there's not a it's not possible for a person to follow the Quran except by following the Sunnah. And there are numerous places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has ordered the people to follow the Sunnah and to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even mentioning that obedience to the Messenger is in reality obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. That this is the case. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And this is the reason why the Messengers, they were sent to be obeyed. So therefore, to understand Iman first and foremost, and to be upon the correct deen, and to be upon the Islam that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is in detail, not one is in dire need. One is in dire need to have detailed knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who transmitted that to us, they are the companions, radiyallahu anhum, and after them, the scholars of hadith in the first three generations. And after this, those books clarifying the Sunnah, they were gathered. And they were sealed, and they were transmitted after that. And they were transmitted after that, the Kutub al-Sitta and the likes. So therefore, to understand the Sunnah truly, and to understand Islam truly, one must understand the Sunnah. And there's no way to understand the Sunnah except by understanding the methodology of the Sahaba and the way of the Sahaba. And likewise, the way of the scholars of the Hadith after them and those beautiful and noble first three generations. This is the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is what was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who oppose that way, they have gone astray, waliyadu billah. They have gone astray, waliyadu billah. So now the author, he mentions his methodology in the book, yani the arrangement of the book. He says, mubtadi'an bi tafsirihi, muthanni'an bi dhikri usulihi wa muqawimatihi. وَمِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ يُسْتَمَدُّ مُثَلِّثًا بِفَوَائِدِهِ وَثَمَرَاتِهِ وَمَا يَتْبَعُ هَذِهِ الْأُصُولِ. So now the author, he mentions the arrangement of the work. He said beginning, and in this work, he's beginning with the interpretation of Iman. The interpretation of Iman. And he's clarifying its definition, interpretation. What is the true reality and correct understanding of Al-Iman? Of Al-Iman according to the Quran and the Sunnah. According to the Quran and the Sunnah. And then he mentioned after this, secondly, mentioning the fundamentals and the principles and that which strengthens any of the Iman and where it's derived from. And thirdly, mentioning the benefits and the fruits of Al-Iman and that which follows these fundamentals and these principles. So therefore the author, he has divided this book into three chapters. He has divided this book into three chapters. The first chapter is with regards to the interpretation and the definition of faith. The interpretation and the definition or the explanation of Al-Iman. And following up that, after learning about that and how it's and its detailed clarification and the reality of Iman, he followed that up with where the Iman is derived from. Where the Iman is derived from. If one is looking to find to obtain the faith and where he can increase in faith, and the means for him to strengthen his faith, then where are the sources where this is derived from? He mentions this in the second chapter, and then in the third chapter, the fruits and the benefits that one will reap and that one would enjoy, yani from having the faith. So after this, the author, he says, قال الله تعالى ألم ترى كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون. So now the author, he is mentioning the evidence and the proof that he is basing this work upon, and it is the statement of Allah the Most High. Have you not seen أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Have you not seen how Allah has struck an example? Have you not seen how Allah has struck an example? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to ponder and to reflect. In this manner here, Allah is striking an example. But how does he begin? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ. And he meaning that you should ponder and you should reflect. Have you not seen how Allah has struck an example? So here is a call now to reflect and to ponder, to think deeply about this example. Even before the example is struck, have you not seen how Allah has struck an example? And then he mentions Subhanahu wa ta'ala kalimatan tayyibah, ka shajaratin tayyibah. The example of a good word. The example of a good word is that of a good tree. Is that of a good tree. So there's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is striking an example for. He's making a parable for. And it's something that he's comparing it to. So that which is the example is being struck for is a good word. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he mentioned shahada an la ilaha illallah. That this good word is the statement la ilaha illallah. The creed and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the case. And this good word is being made, is a resemblance is being made with this good word to a good tree. To a good tree. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about that tree, asluha thabit. That this tree, its foundation is firm. Wa far'uha fi sama. And its branches are high in the sky. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. And this tree likewise is giving its fruits at all times. This tree likewise is giving its fruits at all times by the permission of its Lord. By the permission of its Lord. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he strikes the examples for mankind so that they may take an admonition and reflect. So that they may take an admonition and reflect. So the author, he says, فَمَثَّلَ اللَّهُ كَلِمَةَ الْإِيمَانِ أَلَّتِي هِيَ أَطْيَبُ الْكَلِمَاتِ بِشَجَرَةٍ هِيَ أَطْيَبُ الْأَشْجَارِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has made an example, a parable of this statement of faith, which is the best, and it's the best. يعني أطيب, يعني من الطيب. الطيب is something that is good, meaning the best of all statements. Allah Azza wa Jal, he is striking an example of the statement of faith, which is the best of all statements, and comparing that to a tree, which is the best of all trees. A tree which is the best of all trees. Then he mentioned, rahimahullah, mawsufatin bihadihi al-awsaf al-hamida. And this tree is described with these praiseworthy traits. The tree is described with these praiseworthy traits. The first one, he says, usuruha thabitatun mustaqirra. That this tree, the first praiseworthy trait that it's described with is that its foundations are firm and stable. That its foundations, its roots are firm and stable. وَالنَّمَاءُهَا مُسْتَمِرُّ. And its cultivation and growing is continuous. وَثَمَرَاتُهَا لَا تَزَالُ كُلَّ وَقْتٍ وَكُلَّ حِينٍ تُغِلُّ عَلَى أَهْلِهَا وَعَلَى غَيْرِهِمَ الْمَنَافِعَ الْمُتَنَوِّعَ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ النَّافِعَ. And its fruits, the fruits of this tree continue. Continue at all times to bring benefit, and profit and gain for those who own this tree, and for the owners of this tree, and for the ones who possess this tree, and for other than them, bringing about them great benefit and great and beneficial fruits. So this is the case of this tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this parable and this example, he has mentioned four traits of this tree. The first trait is that it is طيبه. It's طيبه. كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة. So even before this one, huh? The first trait is that the tree is described with طيب. And that this statement likewise is described with طيب. كلمة طيبة. It's a good word. And this tree is a good tree. And in order to enter paradise, you have to be good. You have to be good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, he mentioned about the manner the people enter paradise and what is said to them. And likewise in Surah Al-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions what the angels they say to the people of Jannah. For example, in Surah Al-Nahl, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned, he says, أَلَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions about the righteous and the pious. Who are they? الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Those that the angels take their souls, طَيِّبِينَ. Why they're in a state of goodness. Why they're in a state of goodness. Goodness is tawheed and ikhlas and purity of intention and being sincere and being truthful and being honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. to be good, it means to follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam restrictedly, to understand the religion and understanding of the Sahaba and the first and the best generations. This is goodness here. Those who are upon this way, upon this path, when the angels take their soul, what do they say to them? Salamun alaykum. Salamun alaykum, peace be upon you. Udukhulu al-jannata bima kuntum ta'malun. Enter the paradise from because of the deeds that you used to do. Meaning those good deeds, those righteous deeds. Meaning that their life was accepted because of the goodness that they have with him. Because the goodness of this statement and the goodness of this faith in their heart produced these beautiful and good actions until their souls are taken in this manner. طيبين. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions about the righteous. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ فَدُخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ. That whenever the righteous, those who feared their Lord, they are taken to the Jannah in groups, and then its doors, they will come to it, and its doors will be opened, and then the guardians of the Jannah will say to them, Salamun alaykum, tibtum, you did well. You did well, enter the paradise and abide therein for eternity. And he said, this is the case. The first statement, the first attribute of this tree and of this faith is that it's good. Tayyib. So the first trait is that it is good. This faith, this tree in the heart of a believer, it is good. And this tree that is the parable is made with is that it's a good tree. Is that it is a good tree. The second attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, asluha thabit. That is foundations. That is foundation is firm. That is foundation is firm. And this is the case, yani, of this good tree. The tree that is good, its foundation, its roots will be firm. Its foundation and its roots will be firm. And likewise, the tree of faith in the believer, it must be firm. And the one who has true and sincere faith, it will be deeply rooted. And it will be firm in his heart. And the case with regards to the trees, whenever they are not deeply rooted and they are not firm, then maybe they will grow and they will become large. And even they may have some beauty with them and some benefit. But whenever the storm comes, many times they will not bear the weather. And they will not be able to uphold any of the hardships and the trials of the weather that comes, whether it's wind or whether it's rain or whether it's ice. And the likes like this, many times we'll find that the tree, the strongest of trees, and what is apparent in that manner, it will fall over. It will come uprooted because it's not able to bear the strength of the weather and to bear the rain and to bear the hardship of the wind and likewise the ice and so on and so forth because of a weakness in its roots and foundation. And likewise, this is the case of a believer. If the faith is weak in his heart, he will not be able to bear and to weather the storm of misguidance, the storm of trials, and the storm of innovation and of ignorance and deviation and misinterpretation of the Quran and of the Sunnah and having a bad understanding and the likes like this. And likewise, the storm of desires and whims and lusts that are impermissible. If the faith is not deeply rooted, a believer, he can be overcome by these affairs and he can be tried by these affairs. But whenever the roots are strong, then the tree, it will remain firm. The rain will come and it will not affect it. And likewise, the wind will come, it will not affect it. And maybe sometimes you will find that the tree, it will sway and it will move back and forth. But whenever the weather is finished and the storm is gone, it will stand back up straight again. Or maybe even sometimes you will find that a tree, maybe throughout the weather, it will lose a branch or two, or some of its fruits will fall prematurely, or so on and so forth, but it will remain. In the end, the weather, it will not uproot it. It will stand firm because of its deep roots. And likewise, a believer, many times you will find that he may be tried with these affairs and fall into innovation, or fall into sin, or fall into a misunderstanding or a shubha. But if his faith is deeply rooted, it will be a means for him to weather that and to come from that and to leave that, yani, on top, meaning to overcome that and to repent from that and to see the correct way and to go straight, alhamdulillah, and to remain firm upon the straight path because of the faith being deeply rooted in his heart. So this is the first, or the second, this is the second attribute, yani, asluha thabit. And then Allah, He mentioned what farwaha fi sama, and its branches are high in the sky. Its branches are high in the sky. And in the branches of faith, they are high in the sky. What is intended here? Yani is the actions. That which is in the heart, the foundation of faith, this is usul al-iman. Al-imanu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa yawm al-akhir. Wal-imanu bil-qadri khayrihi wa sharri. This is the asl, and this is the foundation, and this lies in the heart. To believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers, and the last day and the decree, the good of that and the bad of that. This is the foundation of faith, which is in the heart. But that foundation, likewise, it has branches, just as a tree it has branches. So branching from that faith, just as a tree it has branches, are the actions. All of the actions of obedience, there are the branches of faith stemming from that belief. And whenever that belief is firm and strong, then those actions, they will be beautiful and in the best manner. But whenever that faith is weak and the asl has deficiency, then likewise the actions and the branches, they will be deficient accordingly. They'll be deficient accordingly. So this is the case here. And likewise, this tree, it has thamarat. Tu'ti ukulaha kulla hinin bi'idni rabbiha. And it gives its ukul. The ukul yani thamarat. The fruits, giving its fruits at all times by the permission of its Lord. The fruits of a tree are well known. Yani that which it produces from the benefit and the delicious fruits of the different types of trees. As for the fruits of faith and the tree of faith, then it is all of the good that a believer he reaps in this life and the hereafter. All of the good that a believer he has in this life and the hereafter, from contentment and satisfaction and the ease of mind and the blessings that come to him based upon his faith and because of his faith and the good that he has in this life and the hereafter, all of this is from the fruit of his faith, beginning first and foremost with a good life in this life. Because he had a good word and a good statement and a good belief, he will have likewise a good life in this life and a good life in the hereafter. So this is the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned with regards to this affair. The author, he says, وَهَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةُ مُتَفَاوِتَةٌ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَفَاوِتٍ عَظِيمًا. And this tree, it varies in the hearts of the believers, a great variance. And it's different. The reality of this tree in the hearts of the believers is different in a great manner. بِحَسَبِ تَفَاوُتِ هَذِهِ الْأَوْصَافِ أَلَتِي وَصَفَهَا اللَّهُ بِهَا. And in this difference, or this difference in the hearts of the believers, is according to the differentiation of these descriptions, yani that Allah has described. And so those who have a strong foundation in their heart, and then they will have great branches, many branches. They will have the obligatory branches established properly, and likewise the non-obligatory branches. And they would establish the actions that are obligatory and that which is not obligatory, and the best and the most beautiful manner, according to the strength of that faith. And those who are weaker in their faith, then their actions will be weaker accordingly. And likewise, the fruit of that, those who are strong, they will have great fruits and great benefit for themselves and for others in this life and the hereafter. And the deficiency will occur also according to the deficiency in that faith. And this is what the author he's mentioned. So he says, فَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ الْمُوَفَّقِ أَنْ يَسْعَى لِمَعْرِفَتِهَا وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْصَافِهَا وَأَسْبَابِهَا وَأُصُولِهَا وَفُرُوعِهَا. So therefore, it's incumbent upon a believer who's given success, a person who's truly given success, that he hasten to understand any of this tree of faith and these foundations of faith and these descriptions that this tree is described with, and to understand its descriptions and the means for it, and its foundations and its branches. And وَيَجْتَهِدَ فِي التَّحَقُّقِ بِهَا عِلْمًا وَعَمَلًا. And that he will strive to apply them and to actualize them and to put them into effect by way of knowledge and application. By way of knowledge and application. فَإِنَّ نَصِيبَهُ مِنْ الْخَيْرِ وَالْفَلَاحِ وَالسَّعَادَةِ الْعَاجِلَةِ وَالْآجِلَةِ بِحَسَبِ نَصِيبِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Because the amount of goodness and success and happiness that he will have in this life and the hereafter is according to his portion of this tree, any other tree of faith. So according to how much faith one has will determine how good of a life one has in this life, and how happy he will be, and how much joy he will find in his heart, and goodness he will find in this life and in the grave and the hereafter. All of this is determined by the amount of faith that he has. And this faith, it has a reality. and it has a means to obtain it, and it has means to strengthen it, and it has means to make it to make it good and to cultivate it and to raise it, and it has benefits and it has fruits. And likewise, there are means that will weaken it, and there are means that will bring deficiency to it. And all of this, it must be learned, and one, he must understand these affairs. He must understand the reality of faith in order to have it and to obtain it, and learn the means that will strengthen it and aid it and support it. And likewise, learn the means that will weaken it and bring deficiency to it, and could even uproot it from its foundation, waliyadhu billah, and to understand these affairs in detail. This is what the author, he's referring to in this portion. And this is the closing of the introduction of the author. But there are a number of other aspects that the faith, it has in comparison or resemblance to the tree, to a tree. And what has come in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the clarification of this tree, that what is intended is not necessarily any tree, but rather it's a nakhla. It is the date tree. And this has come in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he was in a gathering with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a Jumar al-Nakhla was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Jumar is the what is called the heart of the tree. And it's at the very top of a date tree or of a palm tree. And this part is the heart of the tree. And they cut the top of it, and the Jumar is there, and it's very sweet. And it's a very good portion of the tree. It's the heart of the tree. And it's called Jumar. And they eat that. This was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to eat from. And at this time, he mentioned that there is a tree that resembles a believer, that its leaves, it never falls. And this tree is, there is the resemblance of a believer. And the people, any of the companions around them, Abu Bakr and Umar and the likes, radiallahu anhum, they start mentioning different trees from the trees of the desert. And then Ibn Umar, he mentioned that himself, he knew that it was a nakhla, it was the date tree, or it was the palm tree. And then he didn't say anything out of fear, out of reverence for the companions, and he is the youngest. And then whenever no one mentioned anything, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Hiya nakhla," that it is the palm tree. So that is the intent from this tree here. The tree here, the tree of faith, it is the palm tree. And the palm tree, this is the resemblance here. And there are a number of aspects of this affair. And that, from that is that the palm tree, it has a heart, and the heart is sweet. The heart is sweet, and likewise the believer. He has a heart that is sweet and tender, and is kind, and has a beautiful intention, and loves good for others, and the likes like this. And likewise is that the palm tree, whenever the wind comes, it sways and it moves, but it's never uprooted unless it dies. And there are a number of resemblances, and we suffice with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.